This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings. This is Dina Marie of Faith Moments with our weekly podcast to proclaim and ponder the Sunday Mass readings. If you look at the month of June for 2025, we have five Sundays, and we started with the celebration of the Ascension of the Lord. Now we are into Pentecost, and every Sunday there's these really beautiful feasts in the church that really define who we are and whose we are. The Pentecost celebration today, then we'll have the celebration of Holy Trinity, the celebration of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we finish actually on the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. And so we've been hearing all throughout the Easter season from Peter and Paul, the example of Peter, our first Holy Father, our first Pope, as he received the gifts of the Holy Spirit in his preaching and his teaching and his leadership in the church, as it was given to him, those keys of the kingdom, so to speak, from Jesus himself. And we hear the writings, the letters, the teachings, the example of St. Paul. So it's a really powerful month, this month of June, liturgically, in the really identity of who we are. We are identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. It's the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. So think about the love of Jesus Christ that is overflowing in Pentecost, in the Holy Trinity, in his body and blood, and in the example of his apostles and his martyrs in the church. It all flows from the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so as we hear these readings today that help us to reflect on this Feast of Pentecost, 50 days from the celebration of Easter, or in the Jewish tradition, 50 days after the Passover, we hear again this manifestation, this coming to fruition, the descent of the Holy Spirit. So I just encourage you to be listening. The theme or the thread that I see in these readings today is meet the Spirit. Meet the Spirit. I hope that many of you have been praying the prayer of the novena to the Holy Spirit. There are beautiful prayers each day for the church from Ascension Thursday up until this Feast of Pentecost, and praying for particular gifts of the Holy Spirit for us individually, also for us as a church and for the community. So I'd encourage you to continue to pray that prayer, that novena to the Holy Spirit every day. Of course, we want to pray and have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Let's begin today with our celebration of Pentecost Sunday with the collect prayer that is in our liturgy. Let us pray. O God, who by the mystery of today's great feast, sanctify your whole church in every people and nation, pour out, we pray, the gifts of the Holy Spirit across the face of the earth. And with the divine grace that was at work when the gospel was first proclaimed, fill now once more the hearts of believers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles.
When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a sound driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and in amazement and asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are great indeed. How manifold are your works, O Lord. The earth is full of all your creatures. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing to him be my theme. I will be glad in the Lord. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A couple things as we look at this feast of Pentecost. It's hard to imagine. We've had 50 days of this season of Easter. It's Eastertide, this whole time in the church where the priest wears white. We continue to have the Easter candle lit at our liturgies. We have this ongoing prayer of Alleluia, the glory of God, the resurrection of the Lord. And we continue to follow the beginnings of the church. Today is called affectionately as the birthday of the church, this coming of the Holy Spirit. We have in the glorious mysteries of the rosary, we have the resurrection of Jesus, we have the ascension of Jesus, which happened 40 days after his resurrection, and then we have the descent of the Holy Spirit on the Blessed Mother and the apostles, this initiation of the church, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have this time of celebration, and then there will be a transition out of this Easter tide into, I guess, what I like to call, you know, get out there and work. You know, you've been given the gifts. Now you're being called. Many of you might have experienced being involved in some sort of a career. And let's say you're a medical doctor. You spend many years in education and a practicum, and maybe you're sent to a clinic, or you're sent to a particular hospital to work in, maybe in following and shadowing a experienced doctor in your profession. And then there's the day where you receive your license, you receive all of your credentials, and then you go out and you practice that particular work. You're a surgeon. You work with women who are having children, and you work in obstetric care, or maybe you're working with cancer patients, whatever it is. Now you're fulfilling that work. So there's that time of preparation. There's time of training. There's time for you to learn and practice. And I think that's in some ways how we could look at Easter. It's this time of learning. You know, for me, being an adult who came into the Catholic Church, I started to learn from the Acts of the Apostles. I started to learn to see, well, how did this church begin that Jesus Christ founded a little over 2,000 years ago? And where do I fit in that picture? Where do I meet the Spirit? And then after we have that time of learning, of preparation, certainly those who have been confirmed and received their first Holy Communion, whether there are children who are growing in their formation, being baptized as infants and coming into a Catholic family, or as adults who come into the Catholic Church, maybe from a different Christian tradition, or maybe coming from no religion, or a different religion and are coming into faith, there's this transition time. And then there's this time of initiation, and then you live your faith. And now we're being called to live our faith with these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we hear some great accounts. But in this this feast of Pentecost, I want to point out, and if you use a book, and I'm just going to double check in my book here. Yes, it's in the book that I use, which is called the Magnificat, which is a monthly publication. Some of you use liturgical guides that look at the Sunday readings. This was something that I just discovered a few years ago doing this podcast, is that there are readings similar to the multiple readings that we have at the Easter Vigil, where you can have up to 7 readings followed by a responsorial psalm and a prayer that are in Pentecost Vigil. There are Pentecost Vigil readings that really are breathtaking, literally, and they literally go over the just kind of following God's manifestation, following God revealing himself, whether he is looking at the story at Babel when everybody spoke the same language, and then the people come and they come to build this tower and they will be the ones who are in the heavens. And God kind of sets them straight in that he makes everybody speak a different language. You know, this is part of the account of Genesis. And then we hear from the book of Exodus with this idea of the cloud and the fire. We associate the Holy Spirit many times with flames, with the presence of smoke. We see the presence of the Lord. We see Moses speaking to God through this thunder and lightning and clouds and the mountain, all of these beautiful imagery, powerful imagery of the Spirit. And we'll hear from Ezekiel talking about prophesying to the dry bones that come alive with the Holy Spirit's guide. And then the prophet Joel talks about the coming of the Lord's day, that great and terrible day, which is the coming of the Spirit. So these are great readings that I encourage you to go and read into and to get a better sense of this time in the church where we recognize this manifestation, this full manifestation now of the Holy Trinity, because we've seen Jesus who has been manifested in the incarnation, in his nativity, in the presentation of the Lord. And then we have him at his baptism where we hear the voice of God. We see the descent of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and we hear God's voice even say, you know, behold my son, you know, listen to him. This is my beloved son. So we get a sense that God is revealing the true identity of Jesus and that we are to follow him. And now with this coming of the Holy Spirit, we hear thunder, we hear lightning, we hear about these magnificent things that are happening to the apostles at the coming of the Holy Spirit. So it's a beautiful encounter. And so we see the progression. If we start to look at church history, if we start to look from Old Testament to New Testament, this revealing of the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament, now we see its full, the fulfillment in Jesus after his resurrection, sending as a guide, as a counselor. You know, as I was talking about this example of being a medical doctor and you go through the training, you have maybe a mentor, you have somebody who's gone through what you're going through and what you hope to go through in a career to teach you along the way, to point out, do this, but don't do that. Be aware of this. Read this. Know these laws. Know these particular areas that will help you in how you can practice better, more efficiently, more practically, or in a better way to serve the needs of the people. You need a guide. You need a counselor. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit guiding us to be the one who is charitable, to be the one who is filled with love for God and for neighbor. And so this is our invitation to ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We hear in the first reading today for Pentecost from the Acts of the Apostles, and this is in chapter 2. So this is the beginning of the account of the start of the church. And we hear that Pentecost has happened and the disciples are together in the upper room. And there is a noise. And just think about if you've ever been at home. I know I have. In fact, I have this vision, this memory of being in church with a large group at a mass. And as the priest is reading the scripture and getting started on a homily, you hear from afar sirens. You know, you're hearing sirens and then you hear more sirens and more sirens because something is going on out there. But you're here in this room. And so maybe you've been in your house when the 4th of July happens and all of a sudden you hear the fireworks, you know, something explosive is going on in and around you. And then what happens here is not only that driving force, that driving wind, which everybody can hear in Jerusalem, now it's coming into the house. You know, imagine sometimes where I live, there'll be a large truck that drives by our street and literally you can see the windows shake. You almost feel your house rumble because of that force and that pressure of the driving force. Just maybe a little bit of a sense of what could have happened at the coming of the Holy Spirit, where the strong driving wind filled the entire house. It's hard to imagine what would that have been like. What a great Lectio Divina. Be there with our Blessed Mother, be there with the first apostles. And What did those tongues of fire look like? I mean, we use these words, and of course, these are translated into English for us, so they're not necessarily exactly the same words, but some sort of a fiery, explosive, powerful force came to touch upon those gathering in prayer. And what were they doing? They were gathering and they had been in prayer. The first novena of the church is referred to as those days between the ascension of the Lord, when Jesus says, go and pray and wait. Wait for me to send you the paraclete. And so the early church was obedient. Well, we're going to wait. We're going to be together in community. We're not going to be isolated. We're going to come together as a force. We're going to come together and unify our prayers. And the word unify or unity or one is really at the heart of the Holy Spirit to bring us together. For what? To worship God, to serve God, to know God, to love Him, to make Him known, so that everything about who we are reflects God. And so now the Holy Spirit has touched these early apostles, and they go and speak. And somehow, some way, now everybody from all of these different languages is able to hear them in their own language. There is a unifying effort that happens as a result of an encounter with the Holy Spirit. In the Psalm 104, it says, when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you will renew the face of the earth. Unlike at the Tower of Babel, when everybody's voice was of confusion. And so there was a confusion in all of the different peoples who were not seeking God. Now you have the fulfillment of God's presence here. His mission and plan has been executed by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His mission is to bring forth everyone into His heart, into His soul for salvation of the world. And so as He pours forth His Spirit, the world, the earth, all of creation is renewed. Now these apostles are being renewed. And Paul explains this in a little bit of a way when he talks about the manifestation of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians is given for a benefit. And so each individual is given a gift, and each gift is of the same value. It all is necessary. We need all of the gifts, and all of the gifts need to work together. They have a purpose. You have a purpose. Your gift, your plan, your mission, your purpose in life is necessary for proclaiming and sharing the goodness of God. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And this is really beautiful. I think when we think about the initiation into the church, the initiation into God's family, what's that first step? It is in baptism. In baptism, we are initiated in Christ, in His death and resurrection. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit come to us through that first initiation, which is that initiation to unify the church. And then she continues to foster us, to feed us, through the Holy Eucharist, every time we come together, properly formed to receive the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Spirit continues to grow, to deepen within us. And of course, in that beautiful sacrament of confirmation, which this is the season of confirmation and it will continue on throughout the year of young people, particularly receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not like you didn't receive any gifts at baptism, but it's this renewal. It's this recognition. I've received gifts of the Holy Spirit. And how do I use them? How do I form them? How do I have a relationship, a devotion to the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, conversation with the Holy Spirit? That's why I said, meet the Spirit. We should be recognizing that in these sacraments, baptism, confirmation, in the Holy Eucharist, in reconciliation, that we receive the Holy Spirit. But we can receive the Holy Spirit. Have you ever listened to, or excuse me, have you ever watched an altar server lighting the candles at before Mass? And then maybe he just can't quite get that candle lit, or he lights it and then it goes out. You know, sometimes we've been given that Spirit. The Spirit's there, but we just haven't kindled it in our hearts. We haven't fostered a prayer life, a relationship with God, a love of God, a trust of God, a surrendering of ourselves. And so once we begin to do that, then those sparks will ignite. And so Jesus in the gospel, according to John, in the reading that we hear today, says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." He says that twice. And he says to receive the Holy Spirit, that he breathes on them. Just as God at the beginning of creation breathed on the world, it was through this breath of life. And Jesus is breathing on us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're called to be, as he says here, "Who sins you forgive are forgiven." You know, we're called to be people of mercy. We're called to be people who forgive and who ask for forgiveness, who are called to forgive, who are called to turn away from sin. And how can we turn away from sin? By the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to close with this little reflection that comes from the book In Conversation with God, Meditations on the Pentecost Sunday for this particular reading. And it says this, it says, "It is the Holy Spirit who leads us gently into the sacrament of penance to confess our sins, to raise our heart to God at an unexpected moment to carry out some particular work. The Paraclete never ceases to act in our soul. It is He, the Holy Spirit, who suggests to us to make some small sacrifice or finds for us the right words to inspire someone to be better. It's those inspirations of the Holy Spirit." There's a quote here from St. Jose Maria Escrivá that says, "Christian life requires a constant dialogue with God, one in three persons, and it is to this intimacy that the Holy Spirit leads us. Let us acquire the habit of conversation with the Holy Spirit, who is the one who will make us holy. Let us trust in Him and ask His help and feel His closeness to us," right? Meet the Spirit. "In this way, our poor heart will grow. We will have a greater desire to love God and to love all creatures for God's sake." Again, this is from Jose Maria Escrivá. And finally, it says this, "If we want to have a deeper friendship with the Holy Spirit, nothing is so effective as a close relationship with Mary. The apostles, before the day of Pentecost, with one accord, devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus." Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us. God bless you.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.